Folks at the boogie stage know they're privileged. I can see it in their eyes to see a guy here who was inspired by the music of John Hartford as a child, inspired by the music of Hee Haw on television generations ago, and who has become, as a banjo and bluegrass music artist, what people call a guru. And that seems like a pretty silly kind of a word to apply to somebody. But musicians and instrumental experts come and sit to be taught and to learn from this gentleman right here. We're privileged to have him as part of the John Hartford Memorial Festival family, and we really want a warm welcome for him in the boogie stage. Welcome, Danny Barnes.
Waters fall. Now tell me, darling, in your letter, do you ever think of me? Please answer, little darling, tell me where you can be. So long since I've seen you, but the love still lingers on. Don't forget me, little darling, though our love affair seems gone. You gave me and so I'll be waiting on the hillside where the wild red roses fall, on the sunny side of the mountain where them rippling waters fall. Do we have any banjo pickers here today? People that pick the banjo? Well, I'd kind of like to talk a little bit about banjo playing and stuff like that, if that's okay. I'll sing and pick, and I got my buddy Jacob Navarro going to come play with me and stuff, but I'll talk a little bit about the banjo, stuff like that. I've been working on it. I started in 1971, and one of the reasons why I was seeing John on TV and stuff like that, I thought, that must be some kind of really cool job if you just drove around and played the banjo for people. My old man worked his ass off at this farm equipment place, and he'd come in. Sometimes he wouldn't be in a very good mood, and I thought, well, shit. Sing and play the banjo, that might work out better. I don't know. It's still a very long experiment in the works. I'm not really sure what the result is going to be. But. And And then in a little bit, I have a little place where you got any questions about banjo playing. I'm happy to try to help. I'm a student myself, so I don't know all the answers, but I have a good banjo teacher, and we can text him really quick and ask him. You guys know Pat Cloud? He's my, kind of consider him to be my banjo teacher. But one thing about the banjo that I think is important to realize if you're trying to learn how to play is, and this is in the Scruggs book, and I have a tear-soaked copy of the Scruggs book that I've had since I was a kid. Just, it's all warped from my crying and tears of frustration of not being able to sound like that. Nonetheless, he makes a point in there about the melody. And when you're learning to play an instrument, there's so much more literature available to us now with internet and things like that. And got these, just, we could fill up this entire tent with books on learning how to play the mandolin or something like that. A lot of information, a lot of tablatures of all these songs, but there's a few things that really aren't in hardly any of the books that I've ever seen. One of them was in that Scruggs book, and he talks about playing the melody, you know, because like with a banjo or a mandolin, you can play a lot of really fast notes, but it can turn out to be gibberish if there's not like an intention behind it. So it's like when, and as you're learning to develop, you're first just trying to play a few chords and learn a few songs and stuff like that. And you feel really accomplished, you know, as you start to learn a few pieces and maybe sit in with a band or whatever, or play with your friends and things. And then you get where you can kind of rip some scales and stuff, maybe learn a few tunes you can play really fast. And if you're not careful, just that little thing, you go down that road right there, and it's kind of a dead-end street. Like, if you learn to just play a lot of stuff really fast, it has no meaning. And so I had a teacher one time that he assessed that with me pretty quick. This is probably in about the late 70s, I was studying with this guy, banjo player and steel guitar player from where I'm from. And he told me, you can't play anything that you can't sing. So he made me quit just playing gibberish on the banjo, because you can play, you can rip all these really fast things because you got these finger picks and stuff, and you can play really fast stuff, but it can just be a big mess. But it was kind of cool, because what he taught me to do, it took about 10 years to develop this, but he taught me this thing where you memorize every note on the instrument, what it sounds like. And it's, you start off pretty easy. You're just going, but then you get more in the cracks. You learn where everything is, you know, and you learn it vocally. And then that helps you, because you visualize in your head, you hear music in your head that you want to play, and you know where it is because you hear it and then you can play it. And that took about 10 years to kind of get that. But it's a good practice. Like, you learn where all those notes are to sing. And it's sort of a parlor trick or something. It's like it. That kind of is just kind of funny, but what it does, it helps you, like when you're playing, that you can deliver a melody. And he talks about it in the it's both. It's like you think in your head of a melody and you're just doing it, so it's both. But it's a good practice, because like, you know, you can see guys play the banjo and they can play really fast stuff, and if it's just a long pattern that you've memorized, it doesn't have intention. And so it always amazes, and Mr. Hartford's banjo playing is a perfect example of that, because he always delivered this musical quality to the audience. And I saw him, I don't know, 30 times and through the years, and he never failed to do that ever. And it's something I try to work on myself in my playing, and I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. But, and you notice that when I was playing that song there, what's fun to do sometimes when I'm playing is I'll just play the melody, you know, stop and just play the melody. And he covers that in that DVD thing he's got. But let me demonstrate. Like if I'm just playing, like if I'm picking the tune, I just played a Jimmy Martin thing. But figured out what the hell I was doing right there. Do you see what I did in the middle there? I started playing just the melody itself. And sometimes, you know, you can learn all these, you know, all this stuff on the banjo, but I don't know. I hear mandolin guys do it and fiddle guys, guitar guys. You play what we used to call licks, where they were like tricks or like they, it wasn't really necessarily music per se. So anyway, this is a short thing about that. The other thing that's kind of cool to think about too with your playing, this will work with any instrument that you play, a fretted instrument as far as I know, is it's really important to leave the left hand down as long as you can, roughly speaking. A lot of times, and one time I was walking around in a festival, and I overheard a guy playing on the banjo, what's that song? Dear Old Dixie. And he was playing it. Known as staccato, you know, it's like he's clipping, he's not giving the note full value, and he's working as hard as anyone is, but the banjo doesn't get to speak. So I've been working really hard on leaving my left hand fingers down as long as you can, and what that then that melody line becomes part of that is learning a lot of tunes off of tablature, because tablature has this, it presents a series of notes, usually in eighth note rhythm, but it looks like this note obviates the preceding note, but in reality they all kind of blend together. So anyway, that's like the second little simple thing I'd like to cover is if you try to play legato with the left hand, it'll help you. And you see it, you know these tricks, when you're watching people play this weekend, you can kind of listen to that guy's clipping them notes off there, he's not getting the full value of that banjo or whatever. Because the instrument itself, it like wants to play. It's like, I used to fly airplanes a little bit, and the airplane wants to fly, like it wants to do it, you kind of have to screw it up to crash it, it wants to go, you know. It's the same way with the banjo wants to play, I have to mess it up to get a bad tone out of it, because it's designed to pick, you know, it wants to go. So it's like you kind of want to get out of the way of the energy of it. So anyway, that's just like a couple things that might help. I don't know, if you're a mandolin player or something like that, it's something to think about or whatever. Any questions or anything about that so far? Does that make sense, or comments, or want your money back already? Or I guess I'll just... Yes, ma'am. Well, that's a good question. The way that, you know, just like in my mind, the way I visualize that, though, is having a good feeling of where the well, that's a damn good question. And I'll tell you the way that I think about that is, and Mr. Hartford is a good example of that, but also if you listen, see that stuff doesn't come up as clearly in an ensemble scenario, but when you watch someone just sit and play, it's like a window into their soul. It's very intense, and you can see how their thought processes work. You know, if you go see a band play two guitars, bass, drums, horn section, lead singer, you can sort of split up your attention, right? You can watch the bass player a while. You look over at the sound guy. You can look at the bass player, or the drummer. You don't have to. But when you're looking at Ramblin' Jack Elliott sing, it's super intense. You're just watching this guy. And it's either, you're either looking or you're not looking. It's like, it's very intense. But the kind of the guys I got interested in was like Charlie Patton and John Hartford, of course. But these solo performers, they played as though there was an entire orchestra playing with them, but everyone split and they were the only ones left. So in my mind, what I'm doing is I'm playing this orchestration that I hear in my head. Like I have a cello section and a violin section and harp and piano and different things and drums and different things, bass and different instruments. And as I play, I sort of allude to these different concepts. But the way I was taught from various teachers is if you keep a really good handle on the melody, the person can still hear the melody even in the improvisational section? That's a really good question, and I hope that makes some kind of sense or whatever. But in my mind, there's like, you know, say if you have a tune, like if you have a tune where, like the bass line, let's take something really simple like the blues, which gives us a chance to sort of break it down. But if I had a bass line that went... like a bass guy going, and then there's like a Freddie Green shows up and he plays rhythm guitar. And so we got the bass. Right? And then there's the guitar part. Like a little horn section. Still going. Are kind of all layered in one spot. And there's still a vocal part, right? Well, my bucket's got a hole in it. I say my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy me no bear. Well, my bucket got a hole in it. Bass singer, well, my bucket got a hole in it. Well, my bucket got a hole in it. I can't buy no bear. So there, all those layers going on at once. So in my head, I'm sort of keeping track of all that jazz. But anyway, that's what's intense about seeing someone play. You know, and a person who is really good at that is Charlie Patton, this blues singer Charlie Patton. And they've reissued all this stuff. You can get everything that's available in a box set. And I think R. Crumb did it. It's one of the cover designs for one of those reissues. It's pretty great. But when you hear those guys play, that's what they're doing. You hear these, you know, horn section and bass and all these things going on. It's pretty intense. And I think when I saw John, I felt like he was doing the same thing. But it's like, it's a mental thing, you know. It's like a lot of space. So you're working with like negative space rather than positive space or whatever. I don't know. Does that make sense or something to say or whatever? I don't know. Clear as mud. You're fired. It'll drive you crazy, all that stuff, trying to keep up with it. But it's interesting because, like, the older I get, the more it's like when you just see someone play, it's really, if you really pay attention, there's a lot going on, and it's worth checking out. You know, most folks say, well, I really want to see them with the big band and everything, you know, which is, you know, it's cool. You know, you can party down and all that stuff. But it's like kind of like their thought processes get a little bit obscured by, you know, the higher vertical orchestration of a band. Kind of interesting. But anyways. Sorry? Well, yeah. Well, I guess I'll sing another song if you want. Sing another one. Shut up and play. It was called Workshop, so I felt like we had to get a little work done. When my neck threw up, I sprayed a paint can in my face. Got so high that I lost my place. I'm in fisticuff. I've been down so long, everything looks up. I'm in a hotel of shifting sand. Got a little time here on my hand. Everything I done the hard way, son. If it echoes in my mind, like I've been beneath the vine, it'll make
make you sad to die for all the time you did lie. But what chills me right down to the bone is the thing that I done wrong. Charlie Chan, spend the money and ate a lot of honey, and I drank the soda water from a can. I've been hypnotized by the wicked Linder walking her bloodshot eye. I live my life like a man of means until I lost my ass in a Sharpie scheme. I read the sports page to 5 and 9, sang a little song, try to keep good time. And the thing I done the hard way. It'll echo in my mind like the wind beneath the pine. It'll make you sad to die. Chills me right down to the bone. Is a thing that I've done. No, no, thank you. Can you kind of hear what I'm doing there? You see what's going on? I'm having a psychotic break, basically. This stuff will drive you crazy trying to learn to play an instrument, man. It's like, my hat's off to anybody trying to learn. It's like, shit, it'll drive me nuts. There's, everybody's always so much better than you, too. You go, you hear all these great musicians, and it's like, dang, I've been at it 30 years, and how come there's still 8 million people that play banjo better than me? It's like, just keep working. Yes, sir. I've thought about that a lot, but the trouble is, I mean, I have thought about that. You know, I've thought about having a music camp and things like that, but the trouble I have is, as a person who's 54 years old, I'm sort of aware that the shot clock is running. And my thing is playing and writing music and playing shows, and it's like I sort of feel like I had this blog for a while, and I wrote this blog just about the experience of playing music and things like that. But after a while, I realized I could have done about 10 records with the energy that I put into that. So I kind of had to let that one go, you know. So I have to get a little bit more selective about my time. I appreciate you saying that, and I try to make myself available. I mean, people write me all the time and ask me questions about, you know, how to amplify a banjo, or what's a good thing to learn. If I know this, what's the next step, and things like that. And I try to I mean, people were really good to me. Everyone was always really nice to me. John Hartford especially. He was really helpful to me. And it was great when I was able to call him at any time and ask him a question, and he would answer the phone in that voice. And yeah, and he would talk to me, and I could ask him questions. I have a cassette tape of him and I writing this song on his kitchen table, and I brought a piece of a song, and he was helping me kind of figure out how to massage it into something that would work and stuff. And so people have always been really good to me, so I understand the impetus of what you're saying, but at the same time, I feel like I got to pay attention to what I'm doing, you know, because it's like I'm hoping that what I'm doing is included in the recordings themselves. You see? I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. I guess I'm just doing the best I can, you know. It's kind of like I feel like I'm in a playoff game and a shot clock's running. We're not out of time yet. We got time yet. I'm going to take a cruise in one of these golf carts here in a minute. Just drive it right into the lake. Get fired from this place. Yes, ma'am. Yes, there's five. I made five free YouTube videos and gave them away. I worked really hard on the pedagogy of that and stuff. And gave those away for people to have and stuff, and that, you know, people seem like they got something out of that and stuff, because this gentleman makes a good point, because folks are always really helpful to me. Tim O'Brien was really helpful to me. Bill Frisell was very helpful to me. John was helpful to me. Nick Forster has been very helpful to me. Ronnie and Rob have been really good to me. Dale's been really good to me. A lot of these guys have been very cool. So anyway, anybody else got their... Yeah, this gentleman back here, this is Morgan, my friend Morgan back here. He raised his hand. There's Morgan.
Hey, little darling, I'm falling. I'm lonesome all the time. My wind don't blow, my corn don't grow. I got the sun that'll never shine. I'm falling. Falling in love with you. If you want to ease my mind, tell me things is going fine. Hey, little darling, I'm falling. I'm in love with you. My face needs shaving. Darling, I ain't behaving. The hands of time have hurt my mind, but I'm still worth saving. I'm falling, falling in love with you. If you wanna ease my mind, tell me things is going fine. Hey, my little darling, I'm falling. I'm in love with you.
And then we have this little melody in there. Tape of that, him and I working on that. He had this giant table in the kitchen there, in his house there, and he had a little doctor beat metronome there, and we would sit there and practice. Every time I went through there, I'd try to call him and go over there. How we doing on time? Hanging in there all right? Hey, did somebody's arm go over, or were they swatting a mosquito? I'm sorry? Oh, forget about the time. Hey, can I get my buddy Jacob up here to pick? Is he still around here? He might have took off one of them golf carts. There. Hey, this is Jacob Navarro, my buddy from Washington. He's a good picker. We'd like to pick a tune or two for you here. And what I'll show you, another thing that is what I try to work on with the banjo is... going to have our banjo with capers. Put the caper on the banjo. That's a joke there. But anyways, it's like when you're playing with somebody, it'll help you with your ensemble playing, if you think about it. And I've talked to Pete Rowan, talks about this sometime too, but about like pressing your music up against the other person. Because like when you learn songs on your own, you kind of feel like you sort of have to recite your part and you just stand on a stump and play your part. But in reality, what you have to do when you're working on a tune with someone is you kind of got to react to what they're doing and sort of, there's like these little pushes and pulls of the time and you got to pay attention to that. So you ever played with somebody and you feel like it just doesn't ever really lock in? You ever had that experience? Like you're picking with somebody and should be right, but it's just not that together. You ever had that happen? A lot of times it's because what you want to try to figure out how to do is to mash what you're doing together. We'll demonstrate how. We've been working on this, so we'll show you how. Like a way of thinking about it, I think. We'll play a little Byron Berline thing here. Ready? Give it up for Jacob Navarro here on the guitar. See what's going on? See what we're doing? We're kind of trying to hit the strings at the same time. Seems simple, but it takes a lot of work to get that. Because, like, I'll show you what's happening. Like, I've been playing in bands for years and years, and Jake too, actually, but so many years of playing in bands, and I can't tell you how many times I'd be playing in a group, so, you know, a loose sort of group or whatever, and you're playing and singing, and you feel like, wow, the bass is a little bit off, you know, and you look over at the guy, and he's like looking off into space, you know, or like looking down at his shoe or screwing with his amp or messing with the cable or looking at his watch or nowadays looking at his phone during the song or whatever, you know. And so you see it so many times, you know, it's like 1,000 times. Well, the drums are kind of weird. You look back and the guy's like looking off or saying hello to somebody or whatever. He's not even paying attention. He's not even in the ball game, you know. And like I learned when you see Monroe play, that sometimes they would have to play in situations where the system wouldn't be that great, their monitor rig wouldn't be that great, so they really had to work out a way of really locking together where they were right on the money. And every time I ever seen Kenny Baker play with Monroe, he would have the fiddle neck set up where he could look right over the fiddle neck at Monroe's right hand. So in other words, there's a lot of information you get visually. So like, if I really want to lock in with him when he's playing, I got to pay attention to what he's doing, right? If I'm looking out over here or thinking about something or whatever, I can't really lock in with his scene. So there's a lot going on visually. So sometimes if you're trying to play with somebody, try looking at them, you know, and look, watch their hands and watch how they're hitting it. Because sometimes, like, you know, you'll be playing with a fiddler and you'll notice it. When he comes off of that high part, there's just a little bit of slowdown coming off of that high part, you know. And so if you just sort of stomp right over that, then you're off from each other, you know. So there's all this pushing and pulling that goes on with listening to a person actually play a fiddle or a mandolin. So if you would mind playing the melody twice through, I'm going to, first time through, I'm going to sort of play like where I'm not paying attention to what he's doing. And the second time through, I'll start paying attention and listen to the difference. It's almost right, but not quite right. It's just a little bit off. So if you don't mind going all the way through the tune twice, and I'm just going to comp chords behind him. You can see what I'm talking about. Okay, ready? Okay. See how much better it sounded when I started paying attention to what he was doing? Because I'm playing the chords in the right order, but I'm just sort of off in space there, and it just drives you absolutely insane when you hear that, you know? It doesn't add up, you know? So anyway, I get a lot of information from playing with someone visually from what they're doing. It sort of helps me, so anyway. Does that make any sense to anybody at all? Sometimes you play with somebody and you think, man, I just can't get with this fella, you know. And a lot of times it's because, you know, you get distracted. It's an easily distractible world, I guess. We're going to sing and play another song now. This is like a little shuffle thing. This song's called Get Me Out of Jail. This has got a little shuffle feel to it. Thanks for letting me say all this stuff, like earlier. I appreciate you listening. It's nice of you to feel like you're very kind. Thank you. This is like stuff I think about a lot. So, there's an audience of one. I may just be entertaining myself. But anyway, here we go. All the bass players showed up on time. Freddie Ging just got the guitar out of the case. Well, I got drunk this morning. I went off to work. By 9 or 10, I cashed it in. I threw up on my shirt. Then I lost your house keys and I broke in with a big old rock. I keep my Oxycontin, baby, way down in my sock. Yes, I think it's gonna rain. Turn a little colder. I'm a growing pain, I'm a growing pain, and I'm growing older. Oh, you don't know me, baby, know me, baby, all that well. Baby, please come and get me out of jail. Here's the second verse. My law, you pled my sentence down to 90 days. A nudge from the judge and jury set the chain in my way. Time of darkness finds me when I can't find my truck. Banging on your front door, looking for a ride. Yes, I think it's gonna rain. Turn a little colder. I'm a growing pain. That's growing older. You don't know me, baby. Know me, baby. All that well. Baby, please come and get me out of just listen to Jake play the guitar. Said you loved me on the day that we first met. Now you're thinking of my same sinner on regret. See, I only show up at the worstest time. Best thing on my bitches, I'm half drunk out of my mind. I think it's gonna rain. Turn it around. I'm tired of living in this Brown County jail. Thank you very much. How we did okay on that. All right, we're good. I'll just kind of wrap it up here pretty quick, so we're going to do another tune or whatever, but I can maybe field another question from the audience if you want to. Yes, sir. Well, that's a good question. One thing is metaphysics, you know, like not necessarily, like there's a way of copying something directly and there's a way of copying something spiritually. And what I always admired about my good friends that I've had for years that are metalheads, they love music. All of my friends that are metalheads love all kinds of music, and go see shows all the time and have no compunction about driving 300 miles to see a band they want to see and showing up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon hoping to catch sound check and stay till a very bitter end and being completely entertained with the whole thing and stuff like that. So just that appreciation for music is one way. And also my friends at pretty good friends with a couple guys that are very accomplished metal and punk rock musicians, and they practice their butts off. And that concept has stuck with me too. Just like I grew up playing guitar in the 70s and 80s, and you know, when the metal thing was kind of coming up with a lot of tablatures and those magazines and stuff, and man, guys were practicing like crazy. Like I had two or three buddies that like got carpal tunnel from just going. They have to go to get an operation on your forearm or something, you know. Well, I practiced my Phrygian mode for 6 months and had to go have an operation on my tendons. I'm hoping to get back in the action. Stuff like that. So, I don't know. Also, just like the whole concept of like making music about something, you know, having a songs about things instead of just like a collection of stuff that sounds like a song, but it's not really a song. So, anyway. I guess I would suppose the short answer to that would be just sort of metaphysically, you know, dedication and things like that. I don't know. Is that a good answer? Fair answer? Anybody else? Anything else? It's a workshop. I took that seriously instead of just playing and singing. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what distribution are you using. Ubuntu, yeah. You might try Ubuntu Studio, which is an older LTS, you know, long-term support system. But there's one called Ubuntu Studio, which has the audio packages that it'll go and find the audio packages and bring them in. Because with Ubuntu, you need to run Jack for the audio interface. The Pulse Audio that comes bundled in Linux. This is probably really boring, but I'm totally excited by this stuff. The Pulse Audio that comes bundled in Ubuntu is problematic. It has latency. It has a little bit of latency when you go to monitor, but there's a Ubuntu distribution called Ubuntu Studio that has a low latency kernel and uses this system called Jack, which can interface with all kinds of different audio, and it allows you to use multiple DAWs at once and move information back and forth. I would try Ubuntu Studio. There's another one called KVS Studio that is a. In other words, there's a couple of audio-specific Linux distributions you might try that come with Ardor built in, which is a DAW that's free, and it's a very good, fully featured audio program. Yeah, so try Ubuntu Studio. I'm using a Ubuntu distribution called Mate, which is a smaller kernel, and it doesn't use the Unity interface. It uses the GNOME interface, which is a little less of a resource hog if you have an older computer. But anyway. Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir. Which part? Sorry. This geeked out stuff. Sorry about that. But there's a really cool Reddit subreddit called Linux Audio that's worth following that has a lot of good information on it and stuff. Yeah, it's fun to do with those older computers. I thought you were a caveman and played banjo. I don't know. That's a funny song, isn't it, caveman? That's a funny song. I made that song up when I was at SeaTac Airport, and one of those events had happened in the flight system where someone had like tried to light his jock on fire or something like that, where they shut down the entire system, and it was like, what is this guy? What is he thinking? You know, and anyway, it was like there's incredible line going through TSA, this huge line, and it entered my mind that we're all just kind of like cavemen, you know, we don't work as hard and we live longer and stuff, but basically we're just kind of scratching around out in the dirt like everybody else or something. I don't know, it was kind of a dark moment for me there when I wrote that song about that. Anyway. What's that? Oh, you're welcome. Okay, we're going to play one more thing, I guess, and hit the hot, dusty trail. And going to go hang out and see the McCrorys here in a little bit. Looking forward to seeing those guys. Hey, how about that Chatham County Line? They're like one of my favorite bands that play at these festivals, man. They're so great. They got great songs, and they orchestrate their music, and they're awesome. Okay. Hey, give it up to this salmon right here. His name is Chris. Is that right? He did a good job. He's doing a good job here, working hard for you. It all seems so effortless when you're good like that guy. Okay, we're going to just pick something, I guess, if that's okay. One more time, my friend Jacob Navarro, if you don't mind giving him a round of applause. Buddies up there in the Northwest. You know we're from the Northwest because we have mold growing on our bodies. When you're in the Northwest, when you spend a lot of time up there and you get like in like 75 degree weather, you go, oh, it's so hot air. It kind of spoiled a lot of the climate. Is climate a word? If there's inclement, is there climate? How do you say that? If you were trying to learn English from watching that show Cops, you know, if you were trying to learn English, you would think that when they said freeze, hold it, that meant run like hell. Anyway. We're going to pick you the Foggy Mountain Breakdown here, too, but we're not going to play it real quick. But we're going to pick you a little tune here. Thanks again for being here and appreciate your time. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate y'all. Have a good festival.
Danny Barnes and Jacob Navarro. Not too shabby of a banjo picker, I'd say.